Claudia was leaving for her pickleball tournament.
I've been visualizing my match all week.
She was so focused on visualizing that she didn't see the column behind her car on her backhand side. Good thing Claudia's with Intact, the insurer with the largest network of auto service centers in the country. Everything was taken care of under one roof, and she was on her way in a rental car in no time.
I made it to my tournament and lost in the first round.
But you got there on time. Intact Insurance, your auto service ace. Certain conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Welsh Rugby Podcast. It is nearly upon us, the 2025 Six Nations. We are just a couple of days away from Wales's tournament opener in Paris against France. That's Friday night. It's Wednesday as we record this, and Wales have announced their team to face France. Myself and Steph Thomas are here at their team base in the Vale of Glamorgan. The Wales team, as I look behind me, has left. Their bus is headed to the airport. Our colleague, John Jones, he is also headed out to France. But myself and Steph have stayed behind. We're not going to be enjoying the wonders of Paris, the red wine and the lovely food. We're instead here to bring you, well, the team news. Steph, first of all, how you doing? Looking forward to the Six Nations.
Yeah, looking forward. I think I may have drawn the short straw in terms of away trips. You've got Rome and Nice. John's got Paris, and I've got sunny Edinburgh. But, you know, it'll be a good laugh, I'm sure.
Yeah, hopefully it will be sunny by then. Or the snow certainly will have meant.
Well, hopefully.
As you say, we're here to discuss the team announcement, Warren Gatland's first team announcement of 2025. Yeah, an interesting team. I don't know where to sort of jump in first. I think certainly we thought it was going to be the return of Talupe Faletau. Certainly all the noises yesterday were that he was in the back row. And most of the noises yesterday were sort of right. You know, we heard that Evan Lloyd and Henry Thomas would be starting, Owen Watkin and Nick Tompkins in the centre, Ben Thomas at 10. They all turned out to be correct, but yeah, the sort of the hammer blow that came down when Gatland announced his team today. No Talupe Faletau. It's been over a year now since he last played a test for Wales. 104 caps. It's, yeah, a tough one for them to lose. How big a blow is it? In terms of, we knew he was a slight injury doubt, but it seemed like he was over the worst of it. Gatland said he was fit. Liam Williams said on Monday he was looking good in training. It felt like it was gearing towards a Faletau test return, and this isn't sort of sadly inevitable, but it is getting towards that stage, isn't it?
I think it is a blow. You know, if Wales are to pull off a miracle in Paris, they're going to need, you know, they're going to need to reach heights that they haven't reached for a long time. And Faletau is one of those players capable of reaching such heights. I mean, he's, you know, I was talking to one of our colleagues, about 20 minutes ago, and I asked how many Welsh players would get into the France team, and you know the answer wasn't many, but Faletau would probably be one that would get into most teams. So it is a blow, but having said that, you know, when you actually look at the Welsh back row, so Aaron Wainwright's one of the best players last season, James Botham was the best player in the autumn, and I think Jack Morgan is, I think he gets into any team in the Six Nations, and I think he's back to his best. So it's still a very good back row. And obviously you've got Reffle on the bench. So in terms of areas of the game where Wales are strong and where they're weak, I think the back row is still an area where, you know, they can more than hold their own, but certainly having a player of Faletau's ability would have maybe taken them to another level. And I think a back row for me of Wainwright at 6, Morgan at 7, Faletau at 8 is probably a better balanced back row, more than anything. So I think the back row on the whole isn't too bad, but it's just that experience you mentioned, you know, the number of caps, just to lose that from the squad as a whole, you know, it is a bit of a setback, I think.
It was interesting that the Gatland said that James Botham, you know, as you mentioned, he was maybe Wales' best player in the autumn, said he was always in line to start. Truthfully, I'd heard sort of stuff to the contrary. You know, I was hearing earlier in the week it was going to be Wainwright at 6 and Faletau at 8. obviously Wainwright has had a leg injury that kept him out of, I think it was the Dragons' last Challenge Cup game where they went to Johannesburg to play the Lions. But Gatland insists Wainwright's fit, which, you know, reading between the lines, the implication there is it was always going to be a straight shootout between Wainwright and Faletau, which is interesting because I think certainly with when Pivak was in charge and Wainwright fell out of favour, it almost felt like they were too similar to play in the same back row, two, you know, very dynamic mobile ball carriers, and Pivak couldn't really get the best out of Wainwright as a six when Faletau was eight, but Gatland probably did in 23 World Cup. I know that this, you know, the back row that we were expecting to start on Friday, obviously now sort of not happening because of Faletau's injury. Wainwright, Morgan and Faletau, that started twice in the World Cup, but those were the games against Fiji and Australia, which was, the two best performances Wales had in that World Cup. So it's interesting that maybe he didn't necessarily see Wainwright as a six. Reading between the lines of what he said, yeah, that he didn't see Wainwright as a six heading into this first match. I suppose it speaks volumes to James Botham's form, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I think Wainwright has, you know, if you actually look at his game, I mean, he's a carrier, which is something Wales don't have enough of. But it's just the athleticism he brings as well. He's got like a nice blend, doesn't he, between raw physicality and athleticism. And, you know, I think, you know, you look at the performances of Wales last season, there weren't very many positives, but he was one of those. But there's a big onus in him, I think, on Friday night to carry hard and make significant post-contact meters. Because, you know, if you look at the French pack, it's just littered with monsters, really. You know, that's the worry. You know, I wrote in my team verdict that, you know, I led in saying that if Wales can't stop, you know, France crossing the gain line and dominating, you know, winning the collisions and dominating the sort of Welsh pack, if we can't do that, then, you know, it is going to be a very heavy defeat. So Wainwright, we know he's a great athlete. You know, he's a lovely, skillful forward, but, you know, he's really got to grab this sort of game by the scruff of the neck, and he's got to give Wales go forward ball. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he goes.
You know, we were expecting Faletau with his 104 caps to be in there. Even without him, it's fair to say that pretty much in every position, bar maybe four positions out of the starting 15, Gatland has gone for the most experienced option available to him. Maybe three, technically. So I think, yeah, every position bar maybe the front row and open side flanker, he's gone for the most caps in that position. So obviously Liam Williams, Josh Adams, Tom Rogers has more caps than any other wings. The centres have 80 caps between them, even though they haven't played together that many times. Ben Thomas, even though he's got seven caps, is the most experienced fly off. Thomas Williams goes without saying. When you take out Faletau, yeah, Wainwright, yeah, Botham and Morgan obviously are both in the teens in terms of caps, whereas Raffle has a bit more, so that's maybe the one. Dav Jenkins and Will Rowlands, most caps. Front row is obviously the anomaly. Gareth Thomas has less caps than Nicky Smith. Henry Thomas has less caps than Kieran Azzurati, although understand nothing confirmed from Wales. Azzurati's had a back spasm this week. It's on the bench, but it's probably played a factor in that. And then, yeah, Evan Lloyd has considerably less caps than Elliot D. By and large, where Gatland has been able to, he has gone for experience. And he's more than doubled the amount of caps from the end of the autumn, the South Africa game. Which, you know, makes sense. He's trying to end a losing run. But yeah, the front row obviously made big headlines last night. It was the line in the team. You got Henry Thomas, 33 years old. Evan Lloyd, 10 years younger. Both making their first test starts. They've got nine caps between them for Wales off the bench. Obviously, Henry Thomas has seven off the bench for England. But yeah, if it's a daunting place for both of them to be going in and making their first starts. Paris away on a Friday night.
Yeah, I think Henry Thomas has been scrummaging quite well for the Scarlets, and one thing that I will say about him as well is he's obviously spent time in the top 14, so he's been on Montpellier and Cast and scrummaged really well, so he knows what it takes. You know, he knows what it takes to sort of gain parity against a French pack. Obviously, it's an 8-man scrum, not a 1-man effort, but he knows what's coming, so that experience might help. Evan Lloyd is obviously the interesting one, and Warren Gatland said in the press conference, didn't he, that he's an outstanding rugby player, but you know he does need to work on the set piece, which you could take it as a worry in a way, or you could take it as a positive. Gatland was very keen to sort of try and force the point that, you know, he doesn't want him to be bogged down by negativity. But yeah, you know, I do see what Gatland sees in Evan Lloyd. You know, he's a big guy to begin with. He's very dynamic, isn't he? He's an explosive carrier. But the worry I've had is that he actually hasn't played that much regional rugby, and I'm a bit worried that they're trying to get him to run before he's learned to walk, sort of thing. I can see the international potential, but this, you know, this is a big ask of him. Elliot D is obviously the experienced player. Gatland made a point of saying that he's been good coming off the bench. He's played that role for best part of a decade, and he's done well there. His throwing in is the most accurate of all the Welsh hookers, including Dewi Lake. But, you know, Evan Lloyd, according to the IU website anyway, is about 2 stone heavier. So I think that's a big part of it as well. Lloyd is somebody with a relatively high ceiling. I've seen, you know, a lot of negative comments on social media, but I am quite excited about how he can develop. But in terms of the here and now, it's just that, you know, he again, the line-out is a collective effort. But if the line-out doesn't function, then, you know, things could get nasty in Paris. So, you know, he needs to nail that area of his game first and foremost. And if he can do that, then hopefully, you know, he can get the ball in his hands and he can carry, because, you know, we've moaned on this podcast for a while that Wales don't have enough carriers, and he could be somebody that could help in that regard. So I'm quite intrigued to see how he goes.
Yeah, it was interesting what Gatland said about, you know, the first 20 minutes of test matches can be quite tight, and not in the sense you can almost hide, but sometimes it's easier for players to start games when things are, everyone's sort of finding their feet in the game, and that might help him in that regard. You know, if the ball stays on the pitch for Burn, you don't get too many lineouts. He can find his way into the set piece a little bit. I mean, as long as the scrum potentially could go all right to begin with, because it's a big pack. So if they get decent, you know, foot in there, he could easily find his way into the game. I suppose it's different to say if you started Dan Edwards. Chucking him in at 10, probably there's nowhere for a fly half to hide. You know, that is, regardless of how nervy a test match is, you know, it's very difficult to not be caught up in, you know, the eye of the storm if you're coming in for your debut at 10. But no, it'll be interesting to see. It's funny, you know, you think back to last year's Six Nations, Evan Lloyd was obviously one of many of those youngsters. And now he's the last one standing. I think he was maybe the last one, certainly of those, say, those 4 Cardiff youngsters, you know, Cam Winnett, Mackenzie Martin, Alex Mann. He was the last to be capped from memory. Obviously, Winnett started the majority of matches. Mann was capped against Scotland. Mackenzie Martin won his debut in Ireland. Evan Lloyd only sort of came in maybe for the Italy game on the bench. Then had a few bench appearances in the summer. And here he is now. He's the only one left of those lot. And it's going to be fascinating. I do see where, you know, I think a lot of people make comments based on the fact that he doesn't get that many minutes for Cardiff, but that's down to Cardiff wanting different things, isn't it? Cardiff want to win the here and now. And to do that, they've got their club captain, Liam Belcher. as their first choice hooker. Obviously, they've had Liam's been injured, Evan Daniels been injured, and Evan Lloyd has stepped up well for Cardiff in recent weeks and deserves his chance. It's a big call. You know, I've spoken to people in and around Cardiff who admit it's a big call in the last couple of days. But it's the sort of call, you know, Gatland likes to make, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it goes. I guess looking at the, you know, we've spoken a lot about the forwards, and it's going to be a big task. I guess the final thing to say about the forwards is Will Rowland probably needs to step up in his performances. Not quite at it in the autumn, and you sense he's going to need to have a big game alongside David Jenkins if Wales are really going to make any sort of impact on Friday night.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think Rowlands was at his best in the autumn. But we know what he can do, because he is, Rowlands at his best is exactly the type of second row you want when you're facing a pack like France. Obviously, he understands French rugby as well. He's at Racing 92. But yeah, I think you're right. He's one of a number of key players, but he's one of the sort of one of the players who you would expect to be able to win collisions and carry. And if he's not doing that, then it's going to be tough. Because in the autumn, you look at his performances. He wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong, but he wasn't as dominant as perhaps he needed to be, and he has been in the past. And he needs to be on it. He needs to be at his best. I think it's nice to see David Jenkins back. I mean, inevitably he was going to get selected, and just his leadership. You know, he's a solid second row. He's into everything. He's an opposition's nightmare. So on paper, the second rows actually look pretty decent, but it's as a collective, you know, that's the question mark.
Before we move on to the back line, I should give a little plug to our Inside Welsh Rugby newsletter. It's a year since we started doing that, start of the 2024 Six Nations, which seems a lifetime ago. To celebrate Inside Welsh Rugby's 1 year anniversary, you can save 50% on a new annual subscription for a limited time. And you'll be able to find the link to sign up to that on the Wales Online website. So please do sign up to that. Myself and Steph do a lot of stuff on there weekly, sort of some behind the scenes stuff, behind the stories, and hopefully you join us on there and continue to enjoy the newsletter. As I say, let's get onto the back line. Again, no major surprises. We sort of knew Ben Thomas was going to move back to 10, having spent the autumn at inside centre. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, what when you look at that back line, what do you expect? I certainly think, you know, I think Wales, they've gone through a few different sort of attacking variations. I think this is getting back to the Wales we expect from a Gatland team. I think they're going to kick the leather off the ball and look to compete. Obviously, all the things with, you know, losing escorts is huge. And I think, you know, if you've got Josh Adams and Tom Rogers on the wings, Liam Williams at fullback, kicking option like Ben Thomas at 10, it's a little bit harder to kick off 9 now because of some of the referee calling use it more readily, and, you know, you're getting pinged a bit more for blockers around the ruck. So Thomas Williams' kicking is probably not as important. But yeah, it just feels like Wales are going to go to the air where they can, aren't they? And look to win territory and to sort of force himself on the game that way.
To me, it looks like the team is set up almost, it's almost like reverting to type in terms of Warren Gatland's default game plan over the last 20 or so years. I don't expect Wales to play much rugby, if I'm being honest. I think you're right. I think the kicking game is going to be really important. So Ben Thomas has got to be accurate. And I think if you look at the back three, I mean, Liam Williams is very good in the air. Josh is. Tom Rogers was excellent against the Wallabies. And It's been outstanding all season for the Scarlets, and he deserves this selection. And as you said, no escort runners anymore, so that might be an area where Wales can get some joy out of them. But you look at the centre partnership, and it's, you know, the reaction on social media, from what I had a quick glance, you know, a lot of people are disappointed at the selection of midfield. You know, some people wanted Gatland to be a bit more bold, maybe Eddie James or Joe Roberts potentially. But that's probably the sort of safer centre partnership that you can go for, I think. There's not much sort of creativity there, is there? But defensively, it's set up to almost like contain France. It's difficult because I don't think Wales can contain France, because if you look at Dupont, Entermark, Mofana, Ramos, Bielbiere, you know, if you ain't going to contain them for 80 minutes. So even though the back three is dangerous with ball in hand, it's just that midfield is not really one that's going to cause France much problems with ball in hand. But it's a midfield that's going to make less errors or fewer errors than if it was, say, Eddie James and Joe Roberts, perhaps, without the sort of upside in terms of line breaks with ball in hand.
Is there an element that it is, in certain positions, maybe a selection of, not damage limitations, but, you know, let's take France on the chin and then, right, we'll reset for Italy and look, you know, the boys get a week out in Nice, which, you know, has been the case for the last two times they've been out there, has been beneficial for them to get it over the Welsh Goldfish Bowl. And then you can really focus, and, you know, everyone knows the Italy game is the target. If we're talking about where Wales are most likely to get a victory, it's Italy and Rome. If, you know, whatever the barometer of success is in this tournament in terms of Gatland and the review and all that, I mean, it starts with Italy. So is there an element that he's, that maybe this is just, let's just stay in the fight as well as we can against France and then, you know, see what comes the week after?
Well, I use the term damage limitation in my verdict, so I'll put it out there. I think you're probably right. I think before the championship began, I think, you know, you look at the Italy game in Rome, week two, that is a game. If Gatland is to hold on to his job after the Six Nations, he can't afford to lose to Italy, can he? You know, if he loses that, then, you know, it's looking pretty grim. So I think they would have put a real big emphasis on Italy being a must-win game. And, you know, he mentioned in the press conference when he announced the team, you know, that there's a lot more pressure on France. People are expecting them to win. They beat the All Blacks in the autumn. You know, Antoine Dupont's back. It's almost a free hit for Wales. This has got the potential to get quite nasty in terms of scoreline. If France start well and the crowd get behind them, then, you know, I heard you mentioning earlier that the record defeat was Six Nations 2002 in Dublin, which, you know, was the end of Graham Henry. Hopefully he doesn't get there, but there is the potential for that. But I think from a Gatland point of view, I think they're going in, backs against the wall, no pressure. He just wants to see them roll up their sleeves and have a crack at France and fight hard. So then they have something that they can build on for the Italy game, which is a game they can win. So yeah, I'll probably go along with the damage limitation line, to be honest.
The other thing that's interesting about that centre partnership, and, you know, we've spoken about it yesterday and today in pieces, Tompkins and Watkin, 80 caps between them. They only played together four times. The first time actually was Edinburgh 2021, sort of the start, well, the second game of that PIVAC Six Nations win. Couple of times then the year after in a not so successful Six Nations, and then again last year against Scotland. So off the top of my head, that's played 4-1-2, lost 2, but it's always been Tompkins at 12, Watkin at 13 this time around, and it caught me by surprise when they named it. It's Owen Watkin at 12, Tompkins at 13, which is interesting. I did wonder if it was because they see Watkin as the 12 for the tournament, and if and when Joe Roberts comes in, he is the option at 13. Gatlin has spoken about not having depth at 13, not having options really at 13. But then he also insists that Joe Roberts was fully fit for this one. So it's a weird one. But it does feel like they are lining Owen Watkin up to be their 12 for the tournament.
Yeah, I know they got a lot of time for him. I know they were quite impressed by... It's interesting now, you mentioned Joe Roberts. Obviously, there are some whispers that he isn't fully fit. But I know that they were really impressed by Watkin and Roberts against France last season. They went quite well in that game. They thought, anyway. They got a lot of time for Watkin. He's one of those players that when his name is in the squad, there's a lot of people who don't maybe appreciate what he brings. He's not like a flair player. He's not going to make big line breaks. But he's like the glue, isn't he? You know, he makes hardly any errors. He's very good in defence, and that's something that Gatland has always sort of put a lot of emphasis on, and he respects that. But it's interesting, obviously, you say that there's not that many 13s. Obviously, Max Llewelyn wasn't picked. He's at Gloucester, one of the best players in the Prem at the moment. Joe Roberts has looked... I like Roberts, but I don't think he's been at his best since he's come back from injury. He's looked a bit rusty. So I don't think he's quite there yet at the moment. But, I think in as long as things don't go that bad, I think in Rome, perhaps they might go for a more attacking threat at 13. So maybe Roberts might come into the equation then. But we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see. One final thing to mention before we finish the pod. On the bench, it's looking like a debut for Dan Edwards, young Ospreys fly half. By all accounts, it sounds like he's impressing people in camp. I know Dan Bigger in his column for one of the Nationals today said that he's been speaking to people and they say he's got a bit of swagger about him. Gatlin was saying that a lot of the Ospreys boys have been impressed with him when he's spoken to them. Amongst all the talk of, you know, how Wales start this tournament and potential defeat and scorelines and all that, it's an exciting moment for Dan Edwards, regardless of what sort of scenario he's stepping into on Friday night.
Yeah, it is. He's been one of the foreign players of Wales for the last 18 months. He's still a work in progress. But what I like about Dan is his confidence. You know, you can see it. You know, he's got a swagger about him. And I know Test rugby is a different level of pressure, but playing for the Ospreys, you know, when he makes mistakes, it doesn't sort of drag him down. He just brushes it off. Oh, I made a mistake, I'll just go again. And he's a real confidence player that can make things happen. And his problem solving on the field is good as well. So, he'll very likely make his Test debut this weekend. And, I think he's going to be somebody that's going to be celebrating a lot of caps by the time he retires.
Absolutely. It's exciting to see him take his first step into Test rugby. That is it for today's podcast. If you have enjoyed, do make sure to subscribe and leave a review. Readers help us out. But for me and Steph, that's it from the Vale of Glamorgan. We'll be back after the France game for reaction. And then, as Steph says, I'm off to Nice next week. So finally, we'll be getting a little bit of sunshine while John Jones enjoys Paris this week. But that's it for this week's podcast. But until the next one, goodbye.